Our study tonight is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15, giving with God's guidelines for blessing. 2 Corinthians was written to defend the authenticity of Paul's apostleship and his message to a church of believers who were susceptible to heeding false teachers who critiqued him. One of the problems created by this crisis may have been that the false teachers had taught Paul's readers to divert some monies to themselves that were initially intended to go to needy Jerusalem saints. If so, Paul had to give careful instruction to counter errant views on giving by false teachers. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15 continues that instruction, teaching believers to give with God's guidelines for blessing. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6 and going to the end of the chapter. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the lack or the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Wonderful passage of Scripture. We refer, incidentally, to this each morning in our introduction. I refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10 in particular. But it's a wonderful passage on giving. In 2 Corinthians chapters 9, verses 6 through 8, Paul informed his readers of God's principles in giving that lead to his blessing. God wants Christians to give with blessing, and he wants the giver to be blessed. And he has a special program for it. First of all, Paul wrote that giving is like sowing. What we sow or give affects what we reap or we are reimbursed. I grew up on a farm, and a lot of us here are involved in farming or gardening in one way or another. You take one seed and you sow it, and you get a plant. And out of the plant come a number of seeds, right? So, and that's the idea here. As you sow, let's say you give one seed worth of money, then there's a reaping. And as a result, there should be a reaping of a lot more than just that. And the idea is, if you take that again and sow it, then there's even more. And eventually, if you keep sowing that seed, you're going to end up with a whole lot that you can continue to give. And so sowing is like giving. Giving is like sowing. To the degree that we give, to that degree God reimburses. Very interesting. However, God wants the donor to give cheerfully what he himself decides to give. In verse 7, God wants the believer to give without internal grief. The Greek word is lupe, which means to grieve or to sorrow. God doesn't want us to give so much of our money that it causes us tremendous grief. And obviously, if you get your paycheck and you put your whole paycheck into the offering, what are you going to live on? That's never what God has intended. So we need to give without being afflicted in spirit by giving too much. Also, God wants the believer to give without compulsion. The Greek word is anagke, without being pressured by other influential people to donate what he otherwise would otherwise not choose to give. Now, I've heard of a situation where a minister, this is not in our denomination, obviously, a minister that made it a practice when new people came to the church, he required, if they were going to become members of the church, they had to give the last 2 years of their 1040 forms. and then from give them to him, give copies of them to him, and then he would send a note back as to how much he expected them to give based upon their 1040 forms. We don't do that here. I don't know what your 1040 form is, and I don't want to know. I don't want you to know what my 1040 form is, although my salary is posted at the, well, and not back here now, but it's posted in the fellowship hall. But that needs to be an issue of privacy. And God doesn't want us to give under pressure from somebody else, and he doesn't want us to give under grief within ourselves. Why? God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver. So believers should give happily without internal or external pressure. This is one thing, when I came to Nepaug Church, we never did pass the offering plate. I grew up at a Baptist church where they passed the offering plate. But in the church here, they never did. They had the offering boxes at the back. And that serves its purpose because it provides perhaps greater privacy in giving. People can go by the box, and we don't make a big deal about the passing of the offering plate. You can probably see what other people put in if you pass an offering plate, where if it's in a box, it might be a little more private. But anyway, God wants us to give cheerfully. That's the whole point. Now, following the act of giving, God reimburses the donor with more money. You'll notice verse 8, the first part, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound into every good work. God wants to reimburse the donor with more money. From that reimbursement, the donor is equipped to support himself and to abound in giving again. That's what the last part of verse 8 is, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. See, God wants to protect your income as a donor because he wants you to be able to continue to donate. If that's the case, he's going to reimburse you so that you've got that, and then you've got more to give in the future. Now, Paul then described how these principles function if applied to one's life in verses 9 through 11. First of all, he cited the Old Testament teaching of Psalm 112, verses 4 to 9 on this matter. And Paul explained that in that passage, a righteous man who compassionately gives as of his resources to needy people is reimbursed by the Lord for his donation for him to be able to continue to give to others with resulting blessings. It's interesting how the Lord, even in the Old Testament, had the same type of a program of giving. In the Old Testament, if a man was gracious, if he was righteous, and he gave, God would see to it that he was reimbursed so that he could continue to give again. And that man's righteousness in having given the first time is expanded because he's continuing to give more and more. Paul then applied this Old Testament teaching to believers in the church. God's reimbursement to the donor is meant to provide first for the donor's own livelihood needs. In verse 10a, it says, "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food." See, if you're sowing, that is your giving. God is interested that you get reimbursed so that you can continue to live. Because only as you can continue to live and to meet your bills can you continue to give. I've often shared this with people in the church. If, you know, don't give to our church without having paid your electric bill and your mortgage and your phone bill and everything. Because if you do that and eventually you get evicted out of your home, you're not going to be able to give in our church anyway. It's much better to take care of the needs at home. And that's what God's talking about. Verse 10, he that ministers seed to the sower ministers bread for your food, but also and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So, much like seed sown, that reimbursement will be significantly more in amount than what had been first donated, thus equipping the donor to give again, but to a greater amount. So after you get reimbursed and you take care of your living needs, there should be more so that you can turn around and give some more. Now, as you give a more, God then equips the believer who donates to give again, but more than at first, equipping him to have an ever-escalating blessing for the Lord through an abounding life of giving. There was an elderly lady many years ago who passed away. She was living on retirement income. And when she passed away, it created a tremendous crisis in a mission. They came to find out that while she was living by faith, And she had taken on the support of three missionary families herself. And they were on the field. And she was giving way beyond her Social Security income because God was providing the income. And when she died, it created a crisis because the missionaries didn't have the supporter. And it was a tremendous testimony of this woman's faith. She was in her 80s, so, but just living by faith and trusting that the Lord, if the Lord brought the money in, she would. Three families, complete families, were living off of this. Amazing act of faith. But that's the type of blessing that God can give, if ever escalating blessing, if we trust him. Well, Paul then clarified the bountiful results of this giving program that ultimately glorifies God in verses 11b to 14. First of all, the recipients of the donation and other believers will thank God for the donation. That's obviously true. In the last part of verse 11, being enriched in everything unto all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. I've never met a family or a missionary who received support from our church who wasn't grateful for it. Often, especially if there's a love offering came in, they were always very grateful. In fact, many times we've gotten notes from the missionaries saying, you can't believe it that the dryer went out or the washer went out or the car broke down or the transmission went out, and boy, did we need that money. So they're very grateful for that. Second, the recipients then profusely thank God for the donation that relieves their lack, and many times that happens. Third, the recipients and onlooking believers can then also thank God for his evident work in the hearts of the donors to give them a spirit of liberality to donate of their possessions to needy people. First part of verse 13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. See, it's an evidence that God is working in the hearts of people. When people use their money and give it to the Lord's work, that's an evidence that God is working in their hearts. And that's a wonderful thing of joy. Fourth, the recipients can also thank God for that spirit of liberality that will not only extend to meeting their needs, but the needs of other destitute recipients of their giving. The last part of verse 13, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And fifth, the donations enhance the fellowship between the donors and their recipients. And verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And then many times we've had missionaries that we support. They'll come here and they often express how much they appreciate the support and the missionaries and the giving that has come from the church here, and how much it causes them to appreciate the people of the church. There's a tremendous bond that develops between the donor and the recipient in this type of ministry. And sixth, the ministry of giving causes thanksgiving to abound to God, who provided his unspeakable gift of eternal life to lost people so as to transform them into becoming believers with liberality. Praise or thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's the unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. We've got a church here, and we have giving that goes on. It meets the needs, especially I'm thinking of our missionaries tonight. The missionaries themselves had to accept Christ as their Savior. The people in this church had to accept Christ as their Savior as a result of people coming to know the Lord here. And those missionaries having accepted Christ as their Savior, this wonderful ministry of giving occurs. This giving would not occur between this group of people and the missionaries if it weren't for the salvation of Jesus Christ. If we were lost, we would be self-centered. We would be interested in giving. But this giving is something that is a work of God. So to give with God's blessing, believers should align with his principles of giving to donate with liberality to be bountifully reimbursed, but to temper that liberality with freedom from internal or external pain and pressure so as to be joyful. God will then reimburse the donors to meet their living needs and to equip them to give again with increased bounty, resulting in manifold increased blessings to recipients and donors alike, all to the glory of God. So, may we apply God's principles of giving to witness great blessings, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of our recipients, to the glory of God's grace. And then the ministry of giving is a ministry of faith that is limited only to this life. So, may we use whatever opportunities we have on earth to minister in giving to God's interests. Once the rapture of the church occurs, we'll never have this opportunity again. Because we'll be in heaven, they don't have money in heaven, and money's not needed, it's something of the past. But the ministry of giving is a ministry of faith. We give in faith that God will reimburse us and that God will use this giving for his glory. So we need to take the opportunity that God grants us to be involved in this ministry, because we won't have this ministry once we get into eternity. It'll be all in the past. As I was in the process of preparing this message and this past week, I got a call from the headquarters of Trans World Radio. And there was a lady there. I think she might have been the mission treasurer or something, or some official clerk there. And she said, Pastor Shell. I said, yes. She said, I have a question. We received a 3 months, a quarterly payment for the Rosses here, George and Kathy Ross. We got that. But then we got another offering. It was the treasurer had written a note saying it was a love offering for $1,223. Of course, that was the Ross's share of the $11,000, remember, from our the extra that we gave. And she said, is this a personal gift to them, or is this support? And of course, I shared with her, it's not a personal gift. If the church ever gives a personal gift, we might lose our tax-exempt status. The IRS doesn't like that at all. So I clarified, no, it's support. It's support. But then I explained. I said, in the years past, we've had erratic levels of giving in regards to our missions. And we thought it was discouraging to have a high level and not meet it, because the missionaries were counting on it. So what we did, we lowered the level down to what we knew we could always come up with. And then, if there was an excess, we decided to give the excess and split it amongst our missionaries and send it. She responded, she said, oh, what a wonderful idea. I'm so glad that you're doing that. She said, this will be a blessing to the Rosses. And of course, I know there happens to be a special need there in that family at this particular time, so it's a special blessing. But she was just overjoyed with what our church is doing, the idea of giving what we know we can give, and if there's more that comes in, fine, we'll make it a bonus and give it as a bonus. Apparently, I don't know of other churches that are doing that, but we've done it, and this lady was really blessed and very encouraged. And I'm sure she would be send an encouraging note to the Rosses, George and Kathy, and they would be happy too. And all of the missionaries that get this extra amount, it's great, because they're not budgeting accordingly. They're budgeting according to what we have promised that we'll give, which is less. But here's this overabundance. So I really like the idea that the board has come up with, the route that we're taking at this particular time, because it has a tendency to edify. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, the fellowship builds and is enhanced because of this way of giving. I think it's wonderful. So I wanted to share this as a very positive, uplifting encouragement. And, giving from God's perspective is intended to be a blessing. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give even financially. Now, there are many ways we can give. We may not have a lot of funds to be able to give financially, but we can give of our time, or we can give of our talent in a certain area. We might have an area of expertise that the church or believers or people might need that we can use, that we can give to others. And that's the way we can give too. There are lots of ways to donate and to give to help other people. Sometimes giving of our time. Some ladies are excellent in the kitchen. They come over and cook a meal for, or get a meal together for somebody who's in need. There are so many ways that we can donate to meet the needs of others. But God wants us to be involved, and he wants us to have a spirit of liberality. And if we do, he will bless us.